What's going on, guys? James Camacho here. This is Kicking It With
Camacho.
Ooh, I needed some help on that one. Ugh, fresh off a leg day. Did a little bit of a hyperextension today. That's when you you go on that little rack thing. Is it a rack? Is that what you call it? It's kind of like a reverse sit-up bar where you sit there and you hang off like this, kind of like Titanic, you know? You know when Jack and the chick are going off the boat into the ocean? They're kind of like this, right? And then you go up and down like this. I was doing that with weights, trying to get those lower back dimples showing. And yeah, I needed help on that. I haven't stretched in a while. I keep putting it off, you know? Is there something you're putting off that is very simple, but you've been putting it off for days, you know? That's what I'm doing with stretching. I know I should stretch because if I do, I'll be loosey-goosey. I'll be able to, live my life without pain. But I've been putting it off. I'll do that tomorrow. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I'll do it tomorrow. Anyways, good to be here, guys. Hope you had a great weekend. Bulba, again, is joining me on the podcast. He's laying down. He's got his belly out. You can't see him, I don't think. But I don't want you to see him, you know? I don't want you. I got a private life too, you know? I may get on here and talk about everything in my existence for an hour every week, but you know, I gotta keep some things a little private, you know? So Bulba's here. So if you see my hand going back and forth, I'm not fingering myself or anything. I'm petting a cat. I think he kind of knows at this point when I do the podcast, it's a good time for him to get some rubs in, you know, because he knows I'm not going anywhere. You know, I'm like stable. Stable is not the right word. I'm static. Is that the right word? I'm not moving for an hour. So he kind of knows this is his time to get his touchies in. Anyways, good to be here, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed the eclipse that's about to happen in a couple hours, I think. I'm in New York. It's supposed to be at 3:25 or something, you know. Hope you got your glasses. I don't got glasses, so I probably will take a peeksies, but you're not supposed to look at the sun, you know. I just read some article about a lady in the 2017 eclipse. She looked at the sun for 10-15 seconds and she got some permanent eye damage, which, you know, listen, I feel bad for her. You know, your eyes, it's a big thing, right? The sense of sight, that's a pretty hot commodity these days. But, I mean, 10 to 15, that's a long time. You're literally looking at the sun because, you know, when you look at the sun, right, even if it's for a second or two, you kind of get that God, Jesus, right? You get the pain. So you back off. So for 10, 15 seconds, if she did it, that means she's literally was just I can handle it. The sun ain't gonna get the best of me. And she just went for it. And then, you know what? So she kind of deserved it, is kind of what I'm saying. You know? I don't feel bad. I don't want to hear all this about, hey, it's a once in a lifetime. Hey, it's a blah, 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 blah. It's like, bro, yeah, you know what's once in a lifetime? Your eyeballs. You get two once, you know? So come on. Do your Venn diagram, right? Weigh your pros and cons out. There's not a lot of pros. Oh, I saw it. Yeah, you know what? Now you're going to see nothing. You ain't going to see nothing ever again. All right, I don't want to victim blame, even though I am. I'm I'm very democratic, you know? I'm very, I see that, but I could also see it that way. That's one of the problems of being an empath. That's what I am. I'm empathetic. I'm able to put myself in other people's shoes, which is a good thing because I know how people are feeling. It's good for comedy because if I'm doing stand up, I could tell if the crowd hates me or not. But it also makes you very unopinionated, which that can be kind of annoying, right? You gotta have a stance in life, you know. You can't just go about life being so political, right? Trying to win over everybody, you know. But that's the problem. I just get people, man. Who does anyone get me though? Does anyone get me? I need someone to understand me. Anyways, guys, so hope you had a great weekend. Please hope you didn't look at the sun for too long. We are at a little update on my watch hours goals. Guys, we're almost at 3,000. We're at 2,905. Thank you so much for your viewership, for your likership, for your commentship. If you could please do that, like, share, comment, subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're getting to the goal inch by inch, hour by hour, minute by minute, every week. 3,000 is the first tier of monetization. We're very close. I usually get about 100 a week. I would say about maybe 75 a week, 60, 70 a week. So maybe in about 2 weeks, we'll hit 3,000. The goal is 4,000. So guys, please like, please share. I know the podcast is very unshareable in a way where it's like, you know, if you're a fan of me and you watch this, it's you're probably not going to share with someone that has no idea who I am. But, you know, my stand-up clips, my crowd work clips, all that stuff, I think that's pretty shareable. You know, it's just good jokes. So if you could share that, I can get more viewership and, you know, we can make the world go round. Yes. Also, please do me a favor. Please go watch my recent stand-up clip on Instagram. I posted a stand-up clip from Spokane Comedy Club. Really great club. It's a good, high-quality clip. It looks beautiful. A nice, cute little crowd work moment. And I said the word fetus in the well, you know, I was doing crowd work with someone that was telling me how he met his wife. And he was like, we were in biology class, and she was too scared to dissect her fetus, like her pig fetus, and I did it for her. So that crowd work clip got a community guideline strike. And basically when that happens, Instagram won't show it to anyone that's not a follower of mine. So and they also kind of hide it from my followers in general. They basically go, oh, this clip is inappropriate. We don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. We don't want to trigger anyone on, because you know, no one's a grown up. No one can make their own decisions. People can't hear naughty words. It's really about advertisers. They don't want advertisers to get pissed off. If you could do me a favor, go on my Instagram @KamachBro. Go watch the clip in its entirety. Share it with someone. I mean, I work too goddamn hard making crowd work clips. I work too hard booking myself, filming myself, all that crap to have no one see it. So please, guys, go to my Instagram page. Watch the – it's called – what the hell did I title the clip? Biology class. Go watch it and go share it. It's like I said. Like, I work so hard. I put so much time, effort into making these clips, and they just seem to pretty much every other one gets a community guideline striked, which, you know, I talked about this before, but like, I'm just not appropriate for social media, especially the way it is now. You know, I'm a nightclub comic, I'm a comedian, and obviously it's like it's such a clean Christian mingle platform, Instagram, all these things. They want to sell ads. Obviously, when you sell ads, you can't curse and say inappropriate things. So I got to ask the people directly for help. Anyways, so speaking of stand-up, speaking of crowd work, I just did a weekend in Houston. Not a weekend. I just did one night in Houston Saturday. Shout out to the Secret Group. Shout out to Comedy Space for having me. Man, I gotta admit, it was a fun night, but I did not. I guess I kind of knew, but I also when I got to the club, I saw all the previous posters of people that have been there, and dude, like anybody who's anybody in stand-up has headlined this room, the Secret Group in Houston, and yeah, I just saw all these famous comedians. I was going to say Todd Barry, but yeah, I mean, he's not that famous. But anyway, so like really well-respected comedians have headlined. Everyone's headlined this room. Anyone that's like made it has headlined this room. And it was very humbling to walk in there as a headliner myself. It's like, wow, this is incredible. Like, I'm following in the footsteps of people that I look up to. You know, it makes me feel like I'm on the right trajectory in my career. The show was great. Had about, 40 people that came out. A bunch of people bought, like, VIP meet-and-greet tickets, which is so nice. People literally were like, we want to sit up front for this guy, and we want to meet him after. Isn't that crazy, you know? I can't believe people paid to like meet. I didn't set these ticket prices. The producer did. But like, it's just funny because like I would have met people for free after, you know, that's how insecure I am. But I was very humbling, man. It was very humbling. It was a great show. Man, I did a long set. I did like an hour and change. I do feel like I went on a little bit long, you know. My new act is very, it's interesting. It's like my act is like, it kind of gets very one-man showy. It's all jokes, but it's like it's very light and silly for about half of it, like about the first 20 minutes. And then I go into my breakup and like some, mental health stuff. And, you know, it gets a little bit dark and serious with jokes. But I feel like I got to tighten that shit up. Maybe it's just in my head, you know, maybe like as I'm doing this sad material, because I always do say that at some point in my set, I'm like, wow, this got really sad. And maybe people were just like, no, we're into it. We're just obviously you're being sad. It's like, you know, it's hard to laugh like as hard as you did at like dick jokes than with like, you know, jokes about your self-esteem, you know, but it was a great time, man. I guess I'll give you like a little fun rundown of the weekend. So I did shows at the Comic Strip Friday. I did two great shows at the Comic Strip Friday weekend. There's nothing better than doing the Comic Strip, man, because I literally, you know, I went through my breakup. I had to move out, and I moved right next to the Comic Strip, and it's the best on the weekend because you get a good amount of cash, and literally I do my shows. I'm home. I know everyone there. I'm comfortable, and then I got about an 8-minute walk back home after. Nothing better. Two hot shows. I got to go through the footage, and I already went through the footage for just like, what do you call it? The purposes of, the real purpose of filming is to watch so I can learn and get better. So I did that already. I got to go back and see if I can pull any content from it. But it was great. I'm so like appreciative that I get consistent work at the Comic Strip. It's a real blessing, and hopefully it doesn't stop. That'll be a very sad day if it does. And then Saturday, so yeah, I do. I get home about like 12:30 on Friday. Wake up at 4 a.m. I literally take like a 3-hour nap. I get on a flight to Houston. Flights are perfectly fine. Get to Houston, and usually, so the reason why I fly out so early is because I don't want to, you know, I feel like the early flights are the ones that don't get delayed, really, or at least have the least chance of getting delayed. So I always fly early, and what I usually do is I will get to the airport, because usually you can't check into your hotel till like 3 p.m. I'll get to the airport, and then I'll go to the Delta Sky Club, like a aristocrat, you know, and I'll have like, you know, I'll sit on a nice comfy couch, I'll have some buffet food, and, you know, I'll get a little work done, and then just kill time in luxury and 1% lifestyle living till 3 o'clock. But I get to Houston, and I go on my Delta app. Where's the Sky Club here? No Sky Club in Houston, which is kind of shocking because Houston's a pretty, it's a hub. It's a hub, right? It's like they got all the major sport teams. It's a big city. Travis Scott's from there, right? Who else? Who else is from there? I don't know. A lot of mofos. And no Sky Club. Usually, like, listen, I've been to plenty of airports with no Sky Clubs, but they're usually, like, small towns. Houston's a big, I don't know, I was a little shocked. So, no Sky Club. So, I'm like, crap, what the hell am I going to do? So, I look up on my Priority Pass, which is has, like, you know, more lounges on there that you can go. There's no lounges on Priority Pass. I think about going to the Centurion Lounge because I got an Amex Platinum, but they don't let people in that have landed. So, I'm like, crap. It's like 10 a.m. in Houston. I can't check in for 5 hours. What the hell am I going to do? What am I going to do in this airport, right? And, like, you know, the reason why I have this, you know, Amex Platinum, all this, you know, status is because I fly a lot. But also it's like, you know, there's nothing, like, sadder and, like, just kind of exhausting and, like, debilitating than just being in, like, the... God, I'm going to sound so pretentious when I say this, but it's like that food court area in the airport where like the non-exclusive travelers go. It's just sad, man. It's sad. And really what it is, like, it's sad, the chairs are uncomfortable, all that stuff, but the prices are just ridiculous. So like if I had gone to Wendy's or whatever in the airport in Houston, I mean, I probably would have paid like $20 for a chicken sandwich. So, did I say Wendy's? Yeah. So, I thought I said Chick-fil-A, but I said Wendy. I don't know. I don't know why I'm correcting myself. You know, I'm so hard on myself. But yeah. So, sorry for the burping, guys. Yeah, I'm burping. Sorry. What are you doing, buddy? Cat's moving around. So yeah, I'm like, what the hell am I gonna do for 5 hours? Right, 5 hours. So I start thinking, well, listen, Houston's a big city, right? They may not have a Sky Club lounge, but maybe they have an Equinox. And for those of you who don't know, Equinox is like a luxury fitness club that I go to in New York. Again, not trying to brag. It's just this is the life I live. I'm very fortunate. And Equinox usually has locations in every major city. So I go on my phone. Equinox. There's one about, oh boy, like 20 minutes away. So I'm like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to take a Uber to the Equinox. I'm going to get a workout in. And then once I'm done with my workout, by that time, take an Uber back, get to the hotel. I should be able to check in. So that's what I did. I worked out. And, man, I got to admit, man, like, listen, I work out all the time. And, like, I'm consistent. But, like, there is something about getting up at 4 a.m., flying, and then going to work out still. That is kind of like, you know, I'm very, like, I don't know. I'm just kind of, like, proud of myself, I guess. I respect myself. I don't know. I'm just like, yeah, like, I'm in the gym. Like, I'm pushing weight. I'm like, you're an animal. You're a freaking animal. Good for you, man. So, yeah, for all the, like, that are trying to work out and get, like, all your excuses are BS, man. I literally woke up. I was on 3 hours sleep. I slept on the flight, but, I mean, come on, who are we kidding? Sleeping on a flight is barely counts. But, yeah, I flew, 3 hours sleep, went right to the gym, and I did my show at night. And, I got to update you on my bench press goal. We'll get back to that. Let's finish the story here. So, yeah, I go to the gym, go back to the hotel. I rest up. I watch tape from the strip. And then I write, and then I go do the shows. And, yeah, man, like I said, great show. Shout out to the opener, to the host, Connor, who literally is half Chinese, half white, I think. And, like, literally all his jokes were just, like, my jokes in a way. My old jokes, like all my old jokes used to be about my mom and how strict she was, how cheap she was. And he literally had a joke where about like his mom, like reused like tissues and napkins. And I was like, dude, that's literally my life. You know, he had another joke. It was like, yeah, my mom didn't want me to go after my dreams. I'm just like, oh my God, dude, like everything you went through, I went through. This is hilarious. You know, they definitely picked him to be on the show because, you know, it fit obviously. Cause that's, you know, it's not so much what my act is now, but, you know, it's definitely, I guess, what I'm kind of known for. Janan was also open, who had great, great, very tight, good jokes. So jealous. She had good, clean jokes and was just had a hot set, man. Like, I don't know. I get in my head, like, I always feel like, because, like, I used to be very written, jokey, joking, clean. Like, I stood in one spot. I never moved. But I don't know, like, I got out of my shell, so now I'm on stage, I'm like, I have a voice, I have personality, and, you know, I have, like, my own little style, and I just feel like it doesn't translate the same on camera, you know, because I curse, I just have fun, I do crowd work, I don't know, man, the social media game is ridiculous, but it was a great show. I did an hour, people were so freaking nice, the meet and greet was so sweet. And then, yeah, you know, the show was great. So after I go to the green room, I'm trying to, you know, catch my breath. You know, literally it's like you get to the show, you have a little bit of anxiety, I'm setting up the camera, the sound, show starts, you're watching the show, you're trying to, you know, remember your jokes, and then you do the show, do an hour. After that, you do a meet and greet, you talk to the booker, that's another hour. So literally it's like 4 hours of just like stress and like, you know, exerting yourself. So after everyone leaves, I sit in the green room and I'm just kind of vegging, just trying to like, you know, my social battery was exhausted, you know. And then who walks in? My boy Aston Womack, New York City comedian. I'm like, what the hell are you doing here? He's like, what the hell are you doing here? I'm like, I'm headlining. He goes, oh, I'm in town for the festival. I'm like, festival? And apparently there was some giant comedy festival in Houston I think it was called the Riot Comedy Festival, something like that. And there were so many New York City comedians in town. Like, literally, like, he was like, oh, I just saw that guy. I'm like, I know that guy. I just saw that girl. Oh, she's in town. Like, I was just like, what the hell? And part of me was a little bit upset. I was like, I didn't hear about this festival. No one asked me to be on it. Like, oh, my God. Like, I'm a loser. But in another way, it's like, hey, I'm headlining a club here. So, like, I'm still getting that working, baby. You know, I may not be a festival popular guy, but I still get my working, goddammit. I really got to work on networking, man. You know, I'm sure if I was a better pop, more popular, I was more in the scene, more at the parties, I probably would have been invited. But, hey, you know, in a weird way, it's like good and bad. Because, like, I'm not really, I'm making my own opportunities, but I feel like I should also be able to, like, set up opportunities that other people can, like, offer me too. If that makes sense, you know? What the hell am I saying? Anyway, so this ended up being great. So Aston walks in, and he's also like, hey, man, I was just, you know, I've been here since Thursday doing, like, 50 festival shows, talking to everyone, drinking, just having a good time, doing drugs, club hopping. I don't know if he was doing, I don't want to, actually, I don't remember if he was doing drugs. I just know he was partying and drinking. I don't want to put that out there. But so he talks about, by the way, Aston Womack, I hope I'm saying his name right. For those of you who don't know, very funny comedian. You should go look him up. He's a writer for The Daily Show. And one thing I always remember about him is that one time when my ex and I were together, we were like brunching on Sunday. And then we go to the spot, and then we walk in. I see Aston. He's like, writing in his notebook. I'm like, Aston, what's up, baby? And like we're talking. I'm like, what are you up to today? And he goes, oh, I'm gonna go hit an open mic. And man, I just respect this guy so much because, you know, it's Sunday. I'm with my girlfriend. We're just drinking and being degenerates, right? This guy who writes for The Daily Show. He's at the Comedy Cellar. You know, this guy is so successful. And he's going to an open mic in the middle of the day on Sunday. You know, that's how you know he's hardcore. He wants greatness. You know, I want greatness too, but I also like. I mean, listen, I had a girlfriend. You know, like, it's hard to like be like, babe, I don't want to hang out with you. I'm gonna go to an open mic on Sunday. You know, but yeah, I just respect the crap out of him, man. For someone at his level to be open micing, man. I mean, literally, you have to in New York City. You have to pay to do open mics. So this guy who was an established comedian, established writer on a TV show, was like, I'm going to go pay to perform, you know? It's, I give him a lot of props for that, man. I mean, I guess I used to be like that too, but, man, I don't do open mics for sure now. I would never pay to get on stage now. So, anyway, so Aston and I are talking, man. We kick it, and, man, we had a great conversation, dude. We talked about comedy. We talked about life. We talked about, like, you know, the balance of career and, like, trying to be great. And, you know, it's just one of these things, man. It's like I'm so bad at being networking and being social and being, like, a good communicator. It's like anytime I do it, anytime I have a conversation with a peer or I go out or, you know, just whatever, I always have hey, buddy, what's going on? Hey, don't knock over the audio recorder. Come on, you psycho kid. These guys have no, like, sense of space, like that there are things around them, you know? Just, like, I'm more important than this object. Prime example. Hey, Kaisa. For the audio listeners, anyone's listening on audio, my white cat just plumped on my lap, and he seems very comfortable. So, man, I look like I am such a cat dad on this. Oh. Did he turn it off? Oh, no. I thought you might have turned off the audio recorder. Yeah, I'm such a cat guy. Every podcast, I'm just fluffing cats as I scream into a microphone. But yeah, every time I have a conversation with a peer or a friend, if I go out and socialize, I always have a great time. But it's just so... It really does have a lot to do with the way I grew up, you know? My family, in general, didn't really do much communicating about feelings, about stuff. Like, a lot of stuff was just kind of, like, happened and was just kind of not talked about and hidden. So I guess I kind of just grew up that way. Networking, too. It's another thing. It's like my parents, my family didn't have like much. Like we didn't go to really many functions. You know, like we went out to dinner like every. God, when I was really young, we went to like dinner every Saturday and stuff, which was fun. But like, you know, there wasn't like any. Oh, we're going to go to this like PTA meeting or like we're going to go to this like parent meet. I don't know. It just didn't feel like I had any. they had any connections with the outside world, you know? And it kind of just felt like it was just our family was kind of just like insulated. And I guess I just never learned that, you know, man, I'm so mad at myself because there was a party at the Comedy Cellar. And a lot of comedians that don't work at the Comedy Cellar feel weird about going because they don't work there. I don't know. And then just like I felt that too. And I kind of talked myself out of it. And I should have went, man. You know, it's like, who gives a shit? Like, I should be working there. So it's like, why the hell can't I go to that party? You know? So I was mad at myself because I literally had been telling myself I got to be more social. I got to network better and communicate better. And I literally had this great, it's just like a sign from God. It's like, I want to be a better networker. And then it's like, all right, Comedy Cellar's having a party the next day. And I've been very upset at myself, you know, recently. I've been so irritable. I was so irritable today because I was thinking about it. Just fucking walking around with like Tourette's, you know. Oh my God, I just said, fuck. Am I still cursing? Am I cursing a lot this episode? Or have I toned it down? All right. Good to realize that, you know. Because you know what's going to happen. I'm going to, at some point when YouTube catches up with, I want ad space on YouTube. And I feel like if I'm going FFF, I might, you know. I have a hard time monetizing my channel despite having the watch hours. So I got to watch out here. Watch out. Don't you want to get those watch hours? Woo! That's comedy gold. So yeah, we had a great conversation. And then, you know, we were getting to like 12, 1 a.m. I dip out of there. I go to, I go back to the hotel. I take another cat nap for 2-3 hours. Get on a 6 a.m. flight back home. I get home. And again, I was exhausted. I went and worked out like a psychopath. So I get back home, 2 hours sleep, 2 hours like half sleep on the flight. You know, just that sleep where you're like you're kind of aware the whole time, even though you're sleeping, right? And if for some reason, man, I'll lean on one side as I'm sleeping, and like, dude, my ass is so bony, my butt starts breaking. It literally feels like my ass bone is like piercing through my butt cheeks, and it's just brutal. And so I go work out, which is unbelievable. Like I'm squatting like 250 pounds, and I come back and I had a couple like options of part. Like I got invited to a birthday thing. I got invited to go play ping pong, but that got canceled. Then I got invited to a party, and like I just, you know, I didn't want to drink. There's a lot of like big drinking guys. And I just felt bad. I woke up this morning. I'm like, dude, you keep saying you're going to network and stuff. And you just are hanging out. Like, you just don't. You're just so bad at it. It's so funny. It's because, like, old habits die hard, right? Isn't that what they say? Or, like, you can kind of, like, predict, you know, people don't really change. It's like, I don't agree with that. I think people can definitely change. They have to want to change. But, you know, it's so funny. It's like, I'm so predictable in terms of like networking. It's like if there's a party coming, I can even call it. It's like, oh, if there's a party coming up or a social event I get invited to, I already know like you're probably not gonna go. Even though I tell myself, it's like I have like the devil and the angel. It's like oh, you're gonna go to that, and the other side's like, you ain't going. You ain't not you. You never go. What makes you think? What's gonna be different this time? You know, God, I gotta just punch that guy in the face. I got to change things. But yeah, I felt guilty this morning that I literally just stood home all day. Sat home all day. I ordered, my mom was here. She was helping me watch the cats. So we had food, you know, but for the most part, I just watched, I watched the Knicks beat the Bucks yesterday, which was amazing. But yeah, I just felt, and then I couldn't sleep because I was trying to go to bed early because, you know, I felt like I was sleep deprived. I thought I'd be able to fall asleep like a baby, but I couldn't sleep till like, you know, one, and I just felt guilty that I didn't go just do what I was gonna say. So guys, keep me in check, man. Write to me and be like, hey, did you go out this weekend? Say what you, because that's something I'm trying to fix in my life. I'm trying to communicate and network better, and yeah, it's tough. I'm alone, so I got to keep myself in check, but I sometimes I don't do a good job. So yeah, someone write to me, DM me, someone beat me up if I don't. Anyway, so great weekend in Houston. Thanks to anyone that came out. I think there was some people that came out that from online, which is also like just, you know, it's amazing. I still can't get over it. If I ever do blow up, and I don't know how I'm going to deal with like all the people coming out and seeing me. I might just start crying, you know. Yeah, great weekend, guys. More tour dates coming up. I got I'm going to be in the Bahamas for 2 weeks. I think that's April 22nd of May 5th. If you're by any chance at the Atlantis or Nassau, Bahamas, and you want to come see me, I'll be there. Kenosha Comedy Club, May 17th, 18th. That's in Wisconsin. McKinney, Texas, May 31st, June 1st. Gilbert, Arizona, June 7th, 8th. Home Dog Casino in Pine Top, Arizona, June 10th. And then the big one, the Stretz Factory, June 29th in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Please go get tickets at jamescamacho.com. I wanted to circle back to something. You guys know I have my goal of trying to bench 225, and for the last month or so, I've been really making a lot of progress. I've been doing strength training. I've been doing chest strength training, which is basically like every time I bench press, I just try to go for a new personal record. So I'm trying to get to 225. So literally I started like 2 months ago at 135, and every week I've been going up like 5 pounds. And I got to about 215 a couple weeks ago. No, I want to say last week. But literally ever since I got to 215, I've been plateauing. Like, I did 215 for like two reps, I mean. And then I was like, dude, like, I remember I told you guys, like, by Monday, I'm going to be at 225. So this is about 2 weeks ago. But then the next time I went and worked out 215, I remember I did 215 twice. Then I really struggled on the last 250. I couldn't get it up. That's what she said. But I failed my third. So I couldn't get the third set up. So it's like I didn't make any progress, right? And then I also just remember feeling like it felt a little tougher. It felt a little tougher, right? I started getting a little in my head. And then I went and I benched just when I was in Houston. And, like, you know, listen, I could have been short on sleep. Obviously, it's like an exhausting thing to do, like travel and then go work out. But I got to the thing is, like, I got to 210, and then I did 215. But I needed someone to help me up with the press, and then it also again just felt like it didn't feel smooth, right? Everything leading up, and I think what's going on here is I hit a plateau. And I've been doing the same workout for a while now, where it's just like I just bench 3 reps and I just go up to my, like, I start from like 100 pounds. I just go to my max. And I think my body has gotten used to it. Also, I have been cutting, so I've been eating a little less and trying to focus more on proteins. I was a carbing up and eating like a psychopath before, so I just had this extra weight on me. I literally love, I think I'm like, I'm probably down 5 pounds. You know, my abs are starting to come back, and it's weird. I physically feel great, and I aesthetically feel confident, but the strength isn't there. So it's just a bunch of things, but it's not my strength, I don't think, because all my other exercises, like incline bench, my bicep curls, my squats, all that stuff has been progressing up still. So what I think it is, I think it's like, I think my body, my muscles are a bit bored. Mentally, I'm kind of like going in the motions, you know. Even though I'm excited, like, I mean, I used to go in there pumped up to hit these personal records. And I think what I got to do, I asked a guy at the gym how to break this. And he goes, what you got to do is you got to switch up the rep range, confuse the muscles. So, you know, break it down, go to about 70%. Start with 70% of your personal record. And just try to hit 8 to 12 reps. Do 3 sets. And then every week after that, every time you bench after that, you just go up. It's called progressive overload. So that's what I'm going to do now. Sadly, the 225 is going to be delayed. But, you know, this is better because back in the past, I would have been really stupid and stubborn. I wouldn't have done my research. I wouldn't have asked for help. Communicating. Woo! But I, yeah, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to break it down. I'm going to start working on higher reps. I'm going to start doing progressive overload. So I think 70% of 215 is like 70 or 175. It's going to be fun. It makes me excited to go back, which is probably the biggest thing. The mental part is probably the biggest thing, you know, because like I said, I've been only doing three reps of everything. And I do want to see how many reps I can do with all this new weight I can put up. So we're going to break it down, and then we're going to try to build it back up through progressive overload. He also said to strengthen my triceps, so I'm going to be doing extra tricep exercises. But yeah, one good thing about progressive overload and I think it's called hypotherapy workouts, where you do like higher rep ranges, is that your muscles actually grow more than like strength training. So your boy is going to be all, you know, I'm going to be looking like Bubble Boy up here. You know, chest is going to be out. I'm going to be looking way better. But yeah, hopefully, you know, the plan is like, all right, I go in there. I think I'm going to bench Wednesday. Going to go in there, start with like, just see how many I can, I want to see how many reps I can do for 135. I'm hoping it's like 12. And then I'll just, you know, I'll get to the 70%, which is 170, 175. And just do three sets of whatever I can for 8 to 12 repetitions. And then we'll have, you know, we'll have our base. And then every week I'll just try to go up 5 pounds or, you know, an extra rep or two every week. And then hopefully we just go up and up and up and up. And we can get back to 225. I think a good, I'll probably do this for about 2-3 sessions. And then I may try a strength training session. So I'll probably sprinkle, what I really want to do is this. So I want to sprinkle the strength training as I'm going with the height, with the more reps. But I keep seeing online like this video of like, if you can bench this, you can bench this. So basically what they're like is like, if you can bench 135 for 12, that means you can bench 185 for one. If you can bench 185 for, I think it's 7 or 8, then you can bench 225 for one. And I know for a fact I can bench 185. So I should be able to bench 135 for 12. So we'll find out on Wednesday. And then I'm going to try to build it up where I can do 185 for 7 to 8 reps. And that should mean I can do 225 for one. And I can pretty confidently say, I think I can do 185 for four or five. I think there was one time I did it for 5 and I was like super excited. So my goal right now, we're going to break it down. We're going to do progressive overload. My goal right now is to get to 185 for 7 to 8. And that should mean I could do 225 for one. So maybe that's what it is. We'll build it up from like, we'll start with 170 this week, go to 185 for 7. And then once that comes, I'll do a strength training session and try to get 225. Yeah. All right. Is this boring for anyone? I'm getting really heavy in the workout stuff, stuff about me. I don't know if it's boring for anyone or not. But let's get topical. I just don't know. I don't know. I have fun yapping about myself. But whenever I do podcast clips online, it seems like the stuff about the celebrity gossip is gets way more views. And then when I talk about myself, like no one seems to give a shit. But that's okay. That's all right. What's that sound? Oh, there's someone's got like a pulley or a trolley thing, and it made a sound outside. I thought it sounded like the camera was dying, so I almost pooped my pants. Real quick, guys, let's do one news topic here. There was an earthquake here in New York a couple weeks ago. No, shit, what am I saying? Last week, 4.8 magnitude, and I gotta admit, guys, I didn't feel a damn thing. I was actually at the gym. I'm always at the gym. And the gym I'm at, it's like on the second, third floor, so maybe that's why I didn't feel it, but I think I was on the Stairmaster too, because I was on the Stairmaster. And all the TVs in the gym just switched to like earthquake, 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 and I was like, "What, really?" But I didn't feel anything. Apparently, a lot of people did feel it, and it's pretty wild. We don't get earthquakes ever. I think that's the first time I've ever been in an earthquake, and it's not. I don't know if it's good or bad or just part of nature, you know. It was funny because, like, on the TV, there were, like, the bottom line was, like, earthquake, earthquake, earthquake. And then they just showed all these pictures of, like, just regular New Yorkers walking around and living their life. Like, it just seemed like a regular day. but earthquake, earthquake, earthquake. So I just thought that was interesting. It's just like, all right, should we panic? Should we not? What are we doing? And I'm looking outside and everyone's like, just everything's normal. So yeah, no harm, no foul, I guess. But it was funny. And I tried telling this on stage. Did it work? I don't really remember. But I went to B&H later that night, that day, to get some equipment for my cameras. And I was talking to the coworker there. Coworker, what? I was talking to a guy working there. And he goes, did you feel the earthquake? I was like, I didn't feel nothing. And he goes, oh, I felt it. And I was like, what did it feel like? He goes, it was like, you know, you literally just felt the ground moving for 5 seconds. We thought it was like the train or something. And it was like really freaky. And I was like, damn, man, I wish I felt it. Because obviously, look, like, I don't think I'll probably ever know what that's like. I live in New York, right? I guess maybe if I'm in LA, I might feel one. But it's like, you know, you live life once. Why wouldn't I want to feel what an earthquake feels like one time and just live, you know? And the guy goes, no, you don't wish that. And it was weird because, like, he literally said it was 5 seconds. And I'm like, bro, do you feel like, I feel like he was calling me a bitch in a way, you know? It's like, you don't think I could, like, last the ground moving? Like, I've been on a skateboard, you know? You don't think I can, for 5 seconds, what, am I going to tumble over and, like, fall on my neck and break it? Like, I don't know. I just felt that was a shot at me, you know? Like, I don't know, someone, if I felt it and someone asked me that didn't feel like, oh, I wish I felt it, I wouldn't be like, nah, dude, you're good. I guess maybe he was just like, he did say like he started fearing for his life and thinking about, like, you know, life and his family. But bro, I mean, I don't know. That's probably what he meant. He probably wasn't calling me a bitch. He was probably, oh, you wish you didn't feel that because it was, you know, you thought your life was over. I guess, you know what, I didn't feel it, obviously, but I could see, like, if it happened. God, I'm so empathetic. I'm literally just like, see how I just talk at myself out? Like, I literally was like, he called me a bitch. And I'm like, you know what? Actually, he probably had a good reason for, you know. But, yeah, I guess it's like if you feel the earthquake and then you're like, what the hell? And you find out, you probably may think something else is going to happen after. So he probably was like, all that time after, he probably was just kind of like, you know, man. It is sad that it always takes something like really, really crazy or tragic to like make us remember to, that life's not that bad, you know? But yeah, we had an earthquake here, guys. I didn't feel it. I feel left out. I really do. All these damn, oh, everyone felt it except for me, you know? That's how sad I am. That's how big of a loser I was growing up. I was always excluded. People didn't invite me to parties. I had to find out online and cry at home on MySpace, you know? And so, you know, when earthquakes happen and I feel like I didn't feel it, but everyone else did, I feel like I'm in high school again. I'm on MySpace seeing all these tagged photos. Spring 20. I'm not in a single one of them. Man, those childhood scars last forever, don't they? All right, guys, I think we have a question here. Okay. Do you guys hear that beeping? I keep thinking it's the camera shutting off. I had a topic I want to talk about, but we're not going to be able to get to it. We don't have enough time. I do want to get a question in and then a motivational quote. So we'll save the topic for next week. It's a fun topic. It's about I've been seeing these. I don't know why. When one thing comes up on my explore page, then it starts showing up everywhere, you know. But I keep seeing these things about the hottest outfit for men, like what turn women on, and it's like we obviously know what turns men on, just anything, right? If you got yoga pants, skirt, a leg, any skin showing, cleavage, like, that's all we need, right? We turn into baboons. But it's we never, like, you know, and you never really think about what turns women on, like what outfits for men turn women on. So I watched a video, I read a couple of Instagram things, and I have a list here, and we'll do that next week. I'll look up more so I can add to it. But yeah, so Drea, I mentioned you had one last question, and I wanted to save it for this week in case we didn't have any more questions. I didn't ask for questions this week. I completely, you know, I was on the road. I forgot. That's my bad. So we just have Drea's question. That's why it's good to save. See, we ended up not having questions, and I saved. And good job, James, from last week. She asked, what's something you learned in therapy that you think others should know about? Great question. Great question. Man, I feel like that's his whole podcast. Like, I feel like it all starts off silly. I riff about my week. I riff about news topics. I talk about my goals and how I'm not achieving them. I was just kidding, guys. But yeah, a lot of times I get really deep. That's why I do the motivational quote section, because it's a lot of things I learned in therapy that, like, I just want to share to other people, impart wisdom, you know, share knowledge. Something I'm learning in therapy, I think in general, like, the biggest thing I've learned in therapy is that, like, you can't let your anxiety become reality, you know? For so long, like, my anxious thoughts, like, is it going to work out? Sorry about that, guys. I don't know why I'm burping so much today. What if, like, all this what if stuff, like, you can literally get so consumed with what if that you actually start living your life, you start to believe it, and you live your life in this, like, what if not real virtual reality. Not virtual reality, but, like, fake reality, you know? Like, if you think you're, like, I don't know, let's say, let's say you think your partner is cheating on you. Let's just say you think, right? You think your partner's cheating on you, right? But you don't know for sure. But if you don't, like, ask or figure it out, like, you could start living your life like they're cheating on you, where it's like, you know, you start acting weird around them. You start, like, you know, looking at their phone, right? You start doing all these things because you have this hunch. And listen, it could be totally true. Like, if they're giving off signs, yes. But it's like, maybe that's not the best example. Maybe the best example, I'll just give you a comedy example. It's like, I'd always be anxious about, like, if I reached out for let's say an audition at the Comedy Cellar, I would be like, oh man, like, what if I eat shit my audition? I don't get in. It's the best club in the world. All the top comedians perform there, and I'm gonna audition. I'm gonna be the one guy that doesn't get in. I'm a loser, right? And it's just like, but bro, that hasn't happened. You know, like, that hasn't happened. For sure, it's a distinct possibility. But it's like, that hasn't happened. So why are you living your life like that's, like, the reality, you know? And it's true. It's like, I will think that, and then I literally will, like, you know, like, I'll avoid thinking about asking people for auditions. I'll tell myself, like, I need to be better before I audition, which is not bad. It's not a bad way to think. But it's like, I'm living this world where I've already been rejected. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? I'm trying to think of another more universal example. Maybe if you're trying to, you want to ask your boss for a raise or something, but you just assume your boss won't, you'll say no, or maybe they'll, like, tell you to get lost, and you never ask for it. It's just like, yeah, you are living the life now where you'll never get that raise because you don't ask for it because you're scared something's going to happen, you know? So yeah, it's like, you know, we all have these fear of these, you know, bad outcomes, but honestly, man, you know, here's a really good example. Just kind of like telling people what you want or what your boundaries are. You know, we're so scared that they're going to get mad at us. They're going to be like, you know, shut up, right? Just the confrontation itself could be a little bit scary, right? But, like, that anxiety of that, like, so many times you'll tell someone, hey, I don't feel comfortable with that. I don't like when you did that. Most times people are like, oh, I'm so sorry. Or, like, if you ask for, like, hey, can I do this? But you're scared they may say no. If you actually ask, they'll be like, yeah, sure, why not? I don't see the big deal with it. It's like that fear of rejection or that fear of confrontation, that anxiety, it prevents us from doing what we need to do, and then we end up just getting the result that that anxiety becomes reality because we just start already living in that world, you know? It's literally just like, you know, when you repeat something enough, it starts to become real. If you remember something a wrong way, a certain way for long enough, it starts to become really what happened in your head. You know, that's happened before where I was just like, you know, like, oh yeah, when we went to that party, man, we got really drunk to that song. And someone will be like, no, bro, it was that song. What? It's like, no, it's been, I'm pretty sure. Like, I've been remembering it that way for like 10 years. It was like, well, you're freaking wrong. And they'll show you a video where it's the other song. It's like, oh crap. It's like, you're right. So, yeah, that's been one of my biggest things, man. It's just like, you know, I have my anxiety, but anxiety really is just like more of like a, indicator or a warning or like a shield almost from your past experiences to on how to go about your future experiences. But you can't let these like outcomes that haven't happened, like these things you think might happen, actually make you live the way you live now, if that makes sense. You know, I feel like I'd be a good therapist, but I feel like I wouldn't be able to communicate what I'm trying to say the right way, which is why I need to communicate with other people more. Anyways, but that's the one big thing from therapy, I think. Don't let your anxiety become reality. You know, I remember my ex a lot of times, she'd be, oh, like, I'm not going to be ready for this test. Oh, I'm going to, this paper, this and that. And I'd be like, no, if you just put the work in and study, you'll be fine. Don't let this anxiety, like, of the potential failure, like, bring you down now, you know? It's like you're going through hell right now for something that hasn't even happened, you know? But you're making that thing real, and you're already you're literally living like you failed. So that's my thing, guys. This segues perfectly because now we're getting all motivational, therapeutic. Here's the motivational quote for the week. This is more for the men out there, and I think the woman can agree. I feel like in a relationship, this isn't a quote. This is more of a thought. Well, here's the quote, I guess. Men need to make, for relationships, I think men need to make women feel feminine, you know? I hope that doesn't sound misogynistic, but something I've been learning, you know, in my time dating and stuff is that, you know, I don't even think this is a gender role thing. I really don't. And if I upset anyone, I'm sorry, but it's like a good relationship is where the guy is a guy, like he's masculine. And then the woman he's masculine, so the woman can feel feminine. They can feel like a girl, you know? And maybe, like, even with, like, gay relationships, lesbians, homosexual relationships. It's like, there's, like, you know, those roles come in. So I guess one makes the other feel, one's more masculine, the other one is more feminine, right? I can't say obviously, but it's like, why did I even bring that up? Just stick with what you know. Straight relationships, James. But yeah, I think, you know, if you're a guy, I guess this is just more, you know, obviously all the stuff I'm going through, I try to, with the quotes, it's stuff that's helping me right now. So I'm trying to help other people that may be able to hear this. Maybe they're going through the same thing. But it's like, if you're going through a relationship right now as a guy and you feel like it's not going well, it's like, are you putting in her feminine energy, you know? Are you? Because one thing is like, if a guy doesn't display masculine energy in a relationship, the woman starts to take over. Because I think every relationship needs to have like a masculine and a feminine, or like a dominant and like, not submissive, but like a follower, you know, a leader and a follower, you know? And this isn't a knock on the submissives or the followers. It's just like, you know, it's like Batman needs Robin, you know, but Batman's obviously the leader. Robin, you know, obviously he's got his little tools, he's got his own underwear, you know, but he's still needed and very valuable, right? He's still essential. But there's an alpha and there's a beta, I guess it's the right, because beta sounds so negative. But anyway, but when the woman can feel like a woman in a relationship, that's when it usually lasts, you know? It's like, and I think of all the relationships that have failed me in the past. It's like, yeah, like, I think I wasn't, I guess, like, I wasn't giving off the masculine. Because, you know, for me, I get in relationships. My thing is, like, I get in relationships and, like, I get, you know, listen, I'm a great, great boyfriend. Like, I'm accommodating. I'm honest. I'm trustworthy. I'll do whatever. I try to give you whatever you need. And I try to do the best to make you happy, you know? But at the same time, I also do have trouble setting boundaries. I have trouble communicating. So I feel like when you don't do those things, you don't really show what you're worth, or you don't know what you're really worth when you don't set those boundaries, you know? So when people can when you have no boundaries and people can do whatever they want with you, they end up not respecting you, right? And that kind of, you know, for a woman, that takes away that masculine vibe from you. And then when women can't feel feminine in their relationship, they don't want to be in that relationship, you know? That's something I realized. I just bit off part of my dead skin. I spit it out. Sorry, that was disgusting. But no one's going to want to come over to my apartment after this, seeing this. But yeah, you got to, you know, that's something I need to work on, you know, setting boundaries and stuff. And just making sure, like I'm a masculine guy. I work out. I'm good looking, you know. And, you know, I got, like, broad shoulders and stuff. I got a deep voice. But one thing, it's like, you know, and it's I guess it's probably harder to fix. Like, if I was, like, a dweeby-looking guy, but I had boundaries and I had self-respect, it's like, yeah, I can go work out. I can get on steroids, right? But, like, I have all, like, the physical stuff. It's just more for me the mental and emotional stuff. So, yeah. Yeah, women just want to, like, and it, this even goes, like, and this is why I was pretty good with, like, being single. Because, like, you know, physically, I'm masculine. My voice is masculine, right? And then when I'm dating someone, it's like I got my own goals in life, so like they're very secondary to me. So when I would date people, like first day, second day, in the beginning, I always came off really mad. Like I always was able to put them in their feminine energy because like for me, when it comes to dates, like I pay for everything. I set up everything, right? I'm very assertive and aggressive in that way. But it really is just like when it comes down to like long-term relationships and like just setting those boundaries, it's tough, you know? So, like, I guess once you get to know me, you know, that's when things start falling apart. But, yeah, so that's the cool for this week, guys. It's for the men. You got to make the woman feel feminine. And, you know, it could also be for the women, the ladies, too, because it's like if you're in a relationship, just think about it. It's like what's going – if you're not happy in it or if you are happy in it, just think to yourself. It's like, oh, if it's going great, it's like, oh, yeah, he makes me feel like – a girl. He makes me feel like a, you know, puts me in my feminine energy. But if you're not, think about it. Is your guy making you feel not feminine anymore? Do you feel like you have to be the masculine, the alpha, right? You know, I guess there's obviously like, it is interesting though, because like, you know, sometimes relationships don't work out where the guy does put her in her feminine energy. Maybe he cheats on her. So I guess like the trust goes out the door there, but I guess that does take away like feminine energy, you know, because I think there's something about being able to trust a guy that is very masculine, you know. My ex told me that. She's like, you know, you're very like, I feel like I trust you with anything, right? I feel safe with you. So I guess those are masculine traits. So I guess once you like lose the trust and someone and a girl doesn't feel safe with you, they can't really be feminine with you, you know, because I think on this, especially these days, it's like girls don't want to come off too girly, right? Especially in public. Like, you know, equality, they want to show it's like, hey, like, I can make as much money as you. I can work as hard. I can do as whatever you can, right? But on the inside, it's the same thing for dudes. Like, we go out there, you know, we try to be men, blah, blah, blah. But we also like to, you know, we also want someone that's going to be affectionate, right? We like to watch sad movies, you know, we like to show our emotion, right? We just don't do it. Everyone in public always just has some front, you know? So yeah. And it goes both ways. Ladies, if your guy doesn't feel like he can be the masculine in the relationship, that's also a problem. You know, guys want to feel like guys and girls want to feel like girls. I know that may be antiquated to some people out there, or that may sound like I'm being a misogynist or old or whatever. Hey, man, this is from my experience, you know? You know, I use these like, to you, it may not work, right? If I go, don't let your anxiety become reality. If you have no anxiety in the world, you'd be like, what the hell are you talking about, right? So this is just for me and the people that I may work with. But, like, yeah. For the ladies out there, if you know, I don't know, if you're being too whatever. Here's the thing though, like, even like really masculine women, right? They usually find guys that can handle that shit, you know? They find guys that can still even, you know, even these like Mrs. Universe or whatever, these jacked girls, like they end up bodybuilder kind of dudes that kind of like put them in that feminine energy, you know? Tall girls usually date guys that are tall. That's why girls usually date guys that are taller, and then when they are shorter, they freak out because just physically, they're not putting them in their feminine energy, you know, which is really hard for some woman to deal with. I mean, because physical is always the first thing, that you got a breakthrough to get to someone, you know. But yeah, that's the quote, man. Make men feel. I mean, this is for make women feel like women, make men feel like men. It's so funny because like, I have explained, I've over-explained why I said that. But dude, I could see, especially in this politically correct woke universe, just that being taken out of context and just me getting like trashed for it, you know. I mean that in the most equal way possible, you know. And obviously, if you feel like you're born in the wrong body or gender, that's a whole different story. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about, right? If you're a cis male, feel like a guy. If you're a cis woman, feel like a woman. If you don't want to, you do whatever you want. But for the most part, if you're a cis man, I love how I'm back. Again, it's just like, I'm so empathetic. I'm just like, whoa, people might be upset. Let me explain myself. But yeah. Men just want to feel like men. Women just want to feel like women. Maybe that's probably the quote. Men want to feel like men. Women want to feel like women. Unless you identify with something else. Disclaimer. All right, guys. That is this week's podcast, Kicking with Camacho. Please like, share, subscribe, comment, all that jizzy jazz for your Jimmy James. Please go on the Instagram and watch the stand-up clips that get banned. So I'm not wasting my time. You guys are great. You guys are awesome. Please send in your questions. You can email them, jamescamachocomedy.com, or you can comment them below. And more content coming, more stand-up content on the YouTube. Oh, special will be coming out soon. The final cut's done. Announcement on the date, the release date is coming. And guys, 再见, adiós.